This year's race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin is underway, with Republican Ron Johnson officially seeking re-election against a group of Democratic challengers. While Democratic Governor Tony Evers' re-election bid could soon heat up, with a few more Republican opponents considering getting into the mix. We're checking in on the latest developments in Wisconsin's midterm elections on the ballot this fall, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you surprised Senator Ron Johnson decided to run for a third term? Are you glad he is, or do you think it's time for a change? What do you think about the pool of Democrats running against him? How about the race for governor? What are you looking for there? And in either or both races, what issues do you want to hear the candidates talking about? What do they need to say or do to earn your vote? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or is the D or R in front of their name enough for you? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Craig Gilbert is a political writer and Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, welcome back to Central Time.
It's nice to be with you.
Well, on Sunday, Ron Johnson formally announced that he will seek re-election for a third term. He'd made a pledge in 2016 to only go for two. He addressed why he decided to run again during an interview this week with WISN in Milwaukee. Here's a listen.
I have been for the last 11 years, and this reason I ran in 2010, I was concerned about the direction of our country. And I think we all thought, that in 2016, when we finally had a president and we had the House and the Senate, we could turn the ship state around and, we would put it on the right course for a long period of time. I don't think any of us anticipated Democrats completely taking control of government.
All right, Craig, a big announcement, an important announcement in this race. Was anybody really surprised that he said he was going for it?
No. Nor do I think it was shocking that Democrats took control of the government in 2020, as if that was never going to be a real possibility. I mean, this happens all the time in politics. Power shifts. That's what happened in 2020. And none of us, I think, in the political world are very surprised that Ron Johnson is going to seek a third term, even though he did say he would only serve two terms.
Is that something voters worry about? If you're going to support a Republican for Senate, are you going to go back and say, yeah, but you said only two, man?
Probably not a lot of voters, just because we are pretty polarized and people, tend to line up for their side. And the universe of voters whose votes are actually in play is not huge to begin with. And then within that pool of voters, the number of people that for whom this is going to be the deciding issue is probably small.
You recently wrote a piece, Craig, saying that Senator Johnson is maybe one of the most vulnerable incumbent senators in the country. His popularity is low, and he's probably a favorite to win anyway. Why is that?
Well, to say he's one of the most vulnerable incumbents in the Senate is not a big statement, because there just aren't that many vulnerable incumbents. One reason is that, we live in a world where blue states elect Democratic senators, red states elect Republican senators, and then the short list of purple states elect senators from both parties. He's, one of very few senators, Republican senators, from a state that Joe Biden carried in 2020. And he's going to be the only Republican senator on the ballot in 2022 in a state that voted Democratic for president in 2020. So, kind of by definition, he's in sort of a vulnerable zone. And then when you add into that the fact that his own polling numbers aren't great, he is objectively vulnerable, I think. But at the same time, the political climate could be so favorable to him. I mean, it's always favorable to the out. I mean, it's almost always favorable to the out party in a midterm election. You've got a Democratic president with low approval ratings. That makes it a very kind of challenging environment for Democrats. And so it's kind of hard to lose a race in this world under these conditions when you're an incumbent senator in the party that's out of power.
We've got four main candidates so far on the Democratic side of things. What are you seeing for those candidates as they try to distinguish themselves for Democrats as the best option to take on Ron Johnson?
Well, there are going to be some policy differences, not big ones and not a lot of them in this race. But, I think what happens in a situation like this is a lot of the internal debate going on in this race is going to be about, you know, who can beat Ron Johnson. I mean, that's the sort of motivating, you know, thing for a lot of Democratic activists. And that's a powerful message if you can win that argument within the Democratic primary. So you're going to see all the leading Democratic candidates kind of tailor those arguments around their own particular backgrounds. And they're going to argue, you know, a person with my background is the right, has the right background to defeat Ron Johnson. They're going to argue about their own electoral track records, where they come from in the state, their ability to put together certain coalitions. So it becomes kind of a political argument, almost a horse race argument, alongside all the kind of philosophical arguments that sometimes take place in a primary.
Talking to Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at our big statewide races in Wisconsin in 2022, Senate and governor. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Wherever you stand, are you hopeful that your candidate has a shot at winning? Do you have an important issue on your mind this year that you'll weigh as you vote in a primary, a Republican primary, say, for governor, a Democratic primary for U.S. Senate? What do you want to hear candidates talking about? What do you want to hear the media asking candidates about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Whichever side you're on, if you're a Democrat, are you excited at the option of running against, of working against Ron Johnson? If you're a Republican, how about the chance to unseat Governor Evers? 800-642-1234 is the number. Craig, the race for governor now, flipping things around, Democratic incumbent, one main challenger on the Republican side, but thoughts that other folks might get in there. What are you seeing on the Republican side of things?
Yeah, so the decision by Senator Johnson to run for re-election kind of took the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate off the table for anybody else. And so you have some ambitious Republicans out there that want to run for statewide office. The Senate is no longer an option, so they're looking at the governor's race. There are two names that are out there are Kevin Nicholson, who lost a primary for the U.S. Senate in 2018, and Eric Hovde, who lost a U.S. Senate primary, a Republican primary in 2012. So, you know, it looks like we're going to have a contested Republican primary. That wasn't always clear that it was going to be the case. I think it's too early to know how competitive it will be and what, you know, the fault lines are going to be in a Republican primary. In this day and age, there's always sort of the potential to have a Republican primary kind of breakdown along, you know, along sort of pro-Trump and less pro-Trump lines. We don't know if that's going to be the case this time around, but we've certainly seen a pattern in Republican primaries in recent cycles of a candidate who dominates in the suburban Southeast around Milwaukee and a candidate who does better in the rest of the state, which are the same places where Donald Trump did well, for example, in losing the Wisconsin primary in 2016. That's become a familiar kind of geographic fault line in Republican primaries. And so one scenario is a replay of that.
And looking at it through the eyes of Governor Evers now running for re-election, we heard Ron Johnson vulnerable but still has a good shot. What is your read so far on Governor Evers?
Well, he's certainly vulnerable with respect, you know, to the political climate. His polling numbers have been a little bit better than Ron Johnson's. Not a lot better, but they were a lot better in the first 2 years of his term when he was doing really well with independents, and he wasn't doing as badly with Republican voters as Democrats typically do. I think he was boosted in the earlier phases of the pandemic. His numbers have sort of come back down and settled back down into sort of where you would expect them to be in a polarized, evenly divided state like this, where he's sort of closer to 50-50 now. He's not really underwater like Ron Johnson, but he's, you know, he's in a gray zone, but he faces real peril from the political environment. If you look at the history of campaigns for governor, in Wisconsin, the last eight races for governor have been won by the party that's not in the White House. So the president's, the party of the president has lost the last eight races for governor. That's kind of a daunting or chilling trend, I would say, for Governor Evers. And so that's his challenge, is sort of bucking that trend. There's a lot of reasons for that trend, but they all have to do kind of with the dynamics of midterms and how they tend to favor the party out of power. Those voters are more motivated. And if the public is frustrated by conditions in the country, including the pandemic, including inflation, they tend to take it out on the president's party.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Louis is with us in Oconto. Louis, hi.
Hi. I really like the Democrats running for the seat against Ron Johnson, and especially Tom Nelson. Want to give a shout out to him. Boy, that guy, he has a lot of energy. I believe that he's the only candidate so far that has met with people in every single county in Wisconsin. And I remember when he was starting out, walking the streets of Kaukauna, meeting the people door to door. I mean, the guy has been really up on the issues. So just wanted to say that.
Louis, thanks for the call. Craig, does that kind of old-fashioned politicking, hitting the streets in every county, is that something that you think still makes a difference?
You know, it's an open question. I've actually gone door-to-door with Tom Nelson in Kaukauna many years ago in one of his legislative races. And he does have an interesting electoral history. I mean, he's represented areas that are not particularly blue. You know, that we've seen a lot of campaigns that have emphasized kind of, you know, shoe leather, grassroots, door-to-door, personal contact. That can be effective, but by itself, it's not always effective. And so, you know, if you're not somebody who starts out with statewide name recognition, it's hard to build that name recognition without either being at the center of the news or spending a lot of money on television.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Washington Bureau Chief Craig Gilbert about re-election bids for Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Governor Evers has done enough to be re-elected? What do you think of Senator Ron Johnson's performance in the U.S. Senate? Should he get a third term? Call 800-642-1234. Are there other names you'd like to see in a race? Tommy Thompson? 800-642-1234. That's come up. I don't know how seriously. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, with us today previewing Wisconsin's races for governor and U.S. Senate. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Rose is with us now in Menominee Falls. Rose, hi.
Hi there. I just heard Craig Gilbert talk about the off-year elections, which we've all heard about, and how the party who's not in power has a greater chance of winning, et cetera. And I have to tell you, as an active volunteer campaigner for Democrats primarily, I find that, I know it's fact, but I find it very discouraging. And when I try and campaign for candidates, when you hear that over and over again, it just makes you feel like it's not worth it. So why bother? Because this is, and I get it. It's fact that all these years, you know, and most of the years that it happens that way. But the more we hear that, the harder it makes it.
Interesting. Rose, thanks for that call. Craig, trends don't vote, of course, people do. But also, Rose, worried, I think maybe it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if you point out that trend and voters hear that trend. They might think, as Rose worries, why bother?
Well, I think that's sort of related to the phenomenon of, you know, you get into a campaign season and people start seeing a lot of opinion polls. And they're showing a trend. They're showing one candidate ahead and one candidate behind. And the supporters of the trailing candidate always have that fear that their own supporters are going to get discouraged by this sort of perception that, you know, that they're going to lose the campaign. I mean, one thing I would say about that is that, you know, first of all, none of this stuff is determined. Surprises and upsets happen all the time. If it were true that being perceived as the underdog were fatal to a campaign, then underdogs would never win. I mean, if you go back to 2016 in Wisconsin, you know, there was this pretty universal perception that Donald Trump was going to lose that the state of Wisconsin for president. Certainly every poll suggested that, just like, you know, when Ron Johnson ran in 2010 and 2016, a lot of the polling sort of had him trailing Russ Feingold in those races. So I think we've seen that while I totally understand the concern, and by no means do I think that the coverage by the media of these races should be dominated by, you know, this kind of discussion and dominated by questions about who might win or who might not win. I think we've seen time and time again that that's not deterministic, that people, you know, upsets happen, underdogs win, and, you know, historical patterns aren't ironclad. So it's really, I think, up to the candidates and the parties to kind of mobilize and motivate their supporters. If they're mobilized and motivated around the issues and around the candidates, they will come out to vote.
Thanks for that call, Rose. We'll go next to Terry in La Crosse. Terry, hi.
Hi. I would like to make a comment about Ron Johnson. I used to be a strong supporter of Ron Johnson's as a healthcare provider in the state of Wisconsin. I believed in him the first two times that he ran. And my comment about him now is that I will not vote for him. I feel that he turned his back and betrayed the healthcare providers of the state of Wisconsin. His comments about vaccinations are appalling. He has no understanding of science. He's a dangerous man. I also believe that he has been drinking Donald Trump's Kool-Aid far too long.
Terry, thanks for the call. Craig, Terry says she had voted for Senator Johnson in the past, worried his comments of the pandemic, obviously getting a lot of attention, his association with former President Trump. Do you see these as factors, Craig?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for one thing, you know, they are probably mobilizing for the, you know, kind of pro-Trump base voters in the Republican Party. You know, he could have some success mobilizing those voters as a result of, you know, being increasingly in tune with the Trump message and also things he's been saying about the pandemic. On the other hand, the risk for him is alienating some of those people in the middle, some of whom may have voted for him in the past. There is a subset of Republican voters and independent, maybe conservative independents who have had big qualms about Donald Trump. So it's going to be really interesting to see whether Ron Johnson's voting patterns look like they did when he ran last time, when he actually, you know, outperformed Donald Trump in 2016 in southeastern Wisconsin, for example, among suburban voters. This time around, the polling suggests, you know, there are some issues out there. When Marquette did a poll in October and asked people whether they trusted Ron Johnson as a source of information about coronavirus, the majority of registered voters said no. What was more interesting about that was even something like a third of Republican voters said no. Now, some of those voters, or maybe most of those voters, may end up voting for Ron Johnson anyway because they're Republicans, but it does suggest that, you know, some of his rhetoric on this issue does come at a cost for some voters.
Thanks for the call, Terry. We'll go to David now in Wisconsin Dells. David, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, David?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about Governor Evers. You know, I was pretty disappointed that when we had the rioting in Wisconsin, especially in Kenosha, the local legislature there tried to get extra help or added help from him specifically, and he denied it. And I think that was a mistake. I mean, look what happened with the Rittenhouse, all that crap. That could have been avoided. So, you know,
I gotcha. Dave, we're just about out of time, but this is an issue that Republicans are raising, Craig, that the governor had sent some National Guard troops. They say not enough overall his handling of riots and protests.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting issue. I mean, whether it'll be a front and center issue by the time the election rolls around, given the passage of time, I don't know. I mean, I will say one thing about this interesting and sort of hard to assess about the Evers situation is that because we have divided government, because he's been so limited in his ability to implement an agenda because the Republicans have a lock on the legislature, you just don't have the same record to evaluate him on, for example, that Republican and Democratic voters did with Scott Walker when he had control and he could actually leave his policy imprint on the state. So that's a little bit of an X factor in the governor's race.
David, thanks for that call. One more X factor in just half a minute, Craig. Tommy Thompson, he was asked, he didn't rule it out. I don't know that there's any serious consideration of a new Tommy Thompson bid for governor. Quick thoughts?
Formidable politician with an incredible electoral history. I will say that the way he governed and the way he ran is harder to do today than it was then.
Because
for obvious reasons, we're a much more divided and polarized and partisan state, and that really wasn't his style. It's a lot harder to do today, and it would present certain challenges even within his own party. If he did run, I don't expect him to run. I have a tremendous amount of respect for his political skills and his history. But it would be a surprise if he ran. It would be a surprise if he could win a nomination, I think.
Craig, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Absolutely.
That's Craig Gilbert, political writer and Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was with us today with a look at the 2022 races for governor and for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. Follow our latest reporting on those races all year long, pretty much, over at WPR.org.